listening to the Pinball Podcast with Don and Jeff.
Hey, welcome to the Pinball Podcast, episode 57, I think. June 7th, 2015. My name is Don, and with me today is Jeff. How you doing, Jeff?
It's great. I'm getting excited for next weekend. So.
Yeah, Rocky Mountain Pinball Showdown. What is that, June 12th through 14th? Check them out, pinballshowdown.com. Jeff and I will both be there.
Yes, we will.
I hope.
As long as they don't find a reason to cancel it between here and next week, right?
No snow. Big whammy.
I know. I think there's rain in the forecast, which usually means it'll be snow, because that happens every year.
Yeah.
But guess who else is going to be there?
Nifty LED.
That's right.
Yeah, niftyled.com, your source for the niftiest of nifty LEDs. Deck out your game. They've also got rubbers and mods and balls and all sorts of interesting things happening over at niftyled.com. Free shipping over $100 and $5 flat rate shipping under $100. And Jeff and I have both talked about how quickly we get our orders, even with just our normal $5 shipping. So thank you, Nate and Daniel, over at niftyled.com. Go check them out for yourself, though.
Definitely. Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And thank you, guys, for being longtime sponsors of the podcast. Gotta love that.
Yeah, we'll see them next weekend. So
I'm excited to meet those guys.
Should be fun.
Probably not vice versa. They're probably going to be ducking us the whole show.
They just feel obligated to.
Yeah. I wanted to mention that we did get in all of our new t-shirts. They're here. Which means we have, I think I ordered a couple smalls, but we definitely have mediums. We have triple XLs. So a couple people we had to turn down in the past because we ran out so quick of the large and small sizes. But we got them now. So hit us up, pinballpodcast@gmail.com. If you would like to order a shirt, they're $16 shipped in the continental United States. And we can work out shipping beyond that. I'm going to bring them to Rocky Mountain. So... you can buy one there as well, which would be awesome. And we got decals coming. I don't think they're going to make it. And some other special things going on for our pin chat. Saturday the 13th at 4 p.m.
Yep. Yeah? Yep. Which is 2 hours before some totally optional. Ours is required, but the optional spooky pinball live show.
Yeah. It said that they will be revealing game number 2, the licensed game number 2, at the Rocky Mountain Show at 6 p.m. on Saturday. And even if that doesn't work out, those guys are a lot of fun to check out. So,
yep.
Yeah, definitely eat real early. Eat dinner at like 3, come see us, and then hang out and come see Charlie too. Yes. Also, Jeff, I wanted to mention that I did check out the Skillshot Pincast, which is on iTunes.
Oh, yeah.
They have 2 episodes out, and it's nice. It's it has like a real local flavor. It's from the Portland area, I think. But it's good. They talk about different, you know, older games. They talk about some strategy, tournament style, or what is it? Tournament compositions, I guess.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and it is from the Portland area, so.
Yeah. It's the guys that do the Skillshot zine. So check that out. Skillshot Pincast. Mm-hmm. They did not pay us to ramble through that. Also, stay after the show, after this show, because Joe Zink has put together another pinball retheme media masterpiece, this time based around a very popular Quentin Tarantino film. I will say that it is not safe for work. He bleeps a lot of stuff out, but there is... several that make it under the bleep gun too, so
a lot of work going into all those bleeps.
Oh my gosh, he must have been just sitting on the bleeper.
That's like that old joke. You know how they have those clear play DVD players that will edit movies? Like that Pulp Fiction would be about 3 minutes long.
Yeah. I remember a friend and I, we watched it. I actually saw it on VHS, a bootleg copy that had Japanese subtitles at a friend's house. Anyway, but we saw it on TV, and instead of, he said he was going to go to the bathroom and jerk off, And on the edited version, he said he was going to go to the bathroom and cool off. So we, but he still makes the hand motion and whatnot. So
yeah,
we, my buddies and I, we talked about that all through high school, how hilarious that was.
So we mature.
To this day, say we're going to go cool off. Yeah.
So mature.
Very mature. Mm-hmm. Anyway, what have you been doing in pinball, Jeff?
Not a whole lot of stuff. I've been super busy, like ridiculously so this last week or so, or a couple weeks actually. So honestly, I haven't been able to play anything on location. I haven't been able to go to anybody's place. So I just kind of played my own machines a little bit.
It's all right.
Set some new high scores on them, but nothing super exciting or anything like that. I checked out I've been watching a little bit of the archived, you know,
Deadflip?
Pinball stuff on from competitions and tournaments and things like that. Hmm. One, just to hear commentary on it, to hear like rules and stuff. I'm gonna get better at knowing rules, especially since I tend to put some time into the tournaments. And then Rocky Mountain showed a couple of, well, they showed three of the games from the main tournament. Four. And then one of the classics and one of the EM.
Oh, sorry.
So I want to learn a little bit about those. One is
Jeff,
do you remember
which ones?
The Walking Dead, X-Men, and Mustang. Now, I don't know Mustang or The Walking Dead at all. I've played them, but I don't know the rules, especially since recent updates. So I'm going to have to figure those out. X-Men I know okay. But F-14 Tomcats, the Classics one. I'll talk about that game later. And then Quick Draw on the EM. So.
Okay, cool.
But no, not a whole lot. Unfortunately, been a little slow. Been out of...
Real quick, you should listen to the one and done that Taylor and Tommy did this week. It's their second one and done together. But Tommy talks a little bit about Mustang in tournaments.
Yeah.
I wish he'd talk more about it. He talks a little bit about the rules is what I mean.
I'll need to check that out for sure then.
Yes. I want to know more about it, but he did start to talk about it.
Cool.
Anywho, I cut you off, but keep going. Sorry.
No, that was it. I haven't had much opportunity to do anything else, so just catching a little bit of pinball video stuff as I can.
Nice. Keeping a steady income. I want to... I've been looking at pinballsupernova.com a lot. And kind of catching up on stuff there. I haven't been on Pinside a whole lot lately, but just this week, Pinball Supernova, he's always posting so much stuff that, I mean, there's how to install Pin Sound System, how to install Cliffies, there's video gameplay of Kiss, of Magic Girl, Stan Lee, the world's largest pinball machine. That's just from this week. He's always posting tons of stuff. So.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lee, over at Pinball Supernova. He did not pay me to say that, but that's what's been keeping me on the pulse.
Yeah. There's a constant rollout of stuff there. It's a lot to keep up with, but it's good content.
So I think on the last show, when we were talking about Wizard of Oz, I had said that they sent me the wrong replacement board, to fix the LEDs.
Right.
Okay. So I looked, and it was supposed to ship, the correct board was supposed to ship the day after Memorial Day, which was the day after we recorded. It's 2 weeks later, and I nagged them on Thursday. Like, it's been 9 days. Can you guys ship it? So it shipped that day.
Yay.
9 days after it's supposed to. But it's in the mail. I've been really interested in it since we talked about it with Taylor. It kind of warmed me up on the game again, wanting to play it. But I have to put, like, a leather strap in my mouth to keep from swallowing my tongue. I tried to play it now with the strobe lights. So hopefully this is the fix I've been waiting for.
I believe.
Good.
I believe.
I'm glad you believe.
Yeah.
Also, I dropped off Lethal Weapon. It is gone, and the family loved it. They were all excited. They played a four-player game while I was there. Like, as soon as I got done leveling it, they were on it. So that was fun to see. And then 2 days later, a Space Gambler was dropped off here. It is a Playmatic game.
Oh, yeah. I saw some pictures of that.
Yeah. It is a Spanish company. This is their first game. It was made, I think, in 78. And it's like a big Star Wars ripoff mixed with gambling for whatever reason.
Yeah.
So there's a half-assed R2-D2 and C-3PO and some TIE fighters on it.
It looked great.
Yeah. Check us out on Instagram, Pinball Podcast, for close-up pictures of that. It actually does look pretty cool. It has like the time machine. Is it time zone? Time warp? It has like the different colored rainbow circles going down into the playfield. You know what I'm talking about? It's like a circle, a cardboard circle, then another one getting smaller and smaller, so it looks like a tunnel.
Yeah.
Time tunnel. Space tunnel?
I think it was time.
Something tunnel. Anyway, it has that, but on the back glass. And the playfield looks really nice. I guess they use some sort of plastic sheet on it. It basically looks perfect as far as the art, but all the rubbers have disintegrated and broken off. It just hasn't been touched in a long time, so try to figure it out. One interesting thing is that there is a test lead actually soldered to the board. They came like that from the factory.
Huh, weird.
Yeah, so I haven't messed with it, but I will be giving you more information on the next show. And for the people that like the pin repair segments of the show, I got a call about a funhouse that was broken. So I went to work on that this morning, and it is probably the nicest funhouse I've seen in unrestored condition. There was no playfield wear, a little tiny bit of bubbling that I didn't even notice until I had the power off on the clock, which usually the Mylar's all bubbled to hell on there.
Oh, yeah.
The cabinet was faded, but really nice, and it had brand new side rails and everything. The inside was super clean. I was shocked. They've had it for a couple of years. Hasn't been working in a year. It's just this older couple. Their friend moved to Florida and gave it to them. Hmm. And it was just sitting there. The right flipper wasn't working, so I opened it up, and there was the flipper coil was just dangling there, but there was a new coil in its place, but nobody had wired it up. I wired it up, and the fuse for the right flipper was blown. I replaced that. I'm not sure why it blew, but I couldn't see any strange signs on it. I noticed the batteries were dead because it, you know, came up with factory settings. So I looked at the batteries. I said, oh, man, they're probably going to be corroded because they've had it for years and didn't know they were in there. And they expired in 2001, but there was no corrosion.
What brand were they?
Kirkland Signature.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Costco.
Yeah, Costco brand, which is actually Consumer Reports rated those. Those are the highest rated batteries, like AA batteries and AAAs and whatnot.
Nearly 15 years.
Mm-hmm. I spent 6 years stacking those things, and only once did I ever see a corroded one.
Huh.
Yeah. Anyway, so thank goodness. The board was fine and everything. Put new batteries in it. Works great. It was not level, so I leveled it, and they're enjoying that now.
Very nice. It's a fun game.
Mm-hmm. It is a great game. And another thing, I was listening to the Coin Box Pinball podcast, and Tony was talking about pinportal.org, this like league scoring system.
Yeah. It's in like beta. They're trying to get it going.
Yeah. It's in beta right now. I emailed them about a month ago saying like I wanted to try it out for the league. And yeah, so we've been talking to Tony a lot. I talked to him a couple weeks ago, two or three times, and we got our logins. We're good to go. It's a really, really in-depth system. It keeps like all time stats. So from season to season to season, league to league, tournament to tournament, your stats on Walking Dead, let's say, no matter where you play it, it'll show all the different locations. It'll show your average score overall. It'll show your all-time high score. Just as an example of the player options, which is just one small part, because of course you go into a league and it does all your typical league stuff, sorting people by whatever rules you desire, how many weeks are there, showing everybody's scores and whatnot. You name it, it either does it or they're working on it.
It's pretty cool. When they were talking about it on their show, I liked where they're talking about how they could kind of see what average scores were, the differences on the same games, but from different locations. Like, well, over here on this location, the same game, mm-hmm. the average score is so much higher. So let's take a look at how they're set up differently. What's accounting for that? And mm-hmm. they can get them to where people can work together, have their games a little bit more similar, or I don't know. It was just neat. I thought,
or at least you know going in.
Yeah. What you're dealing with. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really cool. So our league starts in about 2 weeks, or about a week and a half now, right after Rocky Mountain. So Cameron, who's been on the show before, he is running the league this time. I'm taking a break and just playing. And we were playing with that, so we will give you more information. If you, at home, if you are interested in beta testing it or trying it out, email support@pinportal.org. And they will get the ball rolling over there.
Very nice.
So to speak. Cool.
Yep.
I also want to throw a shout-out to TiltCycle.com. They're actually doing a big contest. We will be talking about it a little bit more later, but I want to throw the plug in now before I forget, because Dan is actually doing 4 contests. He's doing 2 months' worth of contests on the show, which is really cool. So that's Dan Burfield's Tilt Cycle. Dan recycles discarded pinball parts into clocks and nightlights, lamps, and a bunch of different things. And he's going to be vending his artwork at the Replay Effects Expo July 30th through August 2nd in Pittsburgh. It'll be held downtown at the Pittsburgh Convention Center. If you want to see examples of his art, check out TiltCycle.com, or you can look him up on Etsy. And for more info on Replay Effects, check out ReplayFX.org. And we'll be giving away one of his pop bumper nightlights, again, 4 shows in a row. So we'll do a contest a little bit later, and you can listen to win one of those. They're really cool. I've got one around here in my game room.
Nice.
Very nice. Oh, I have one in my bathroom, too, but it's a Donkey Kong one he made.
Not a close bumper. Enough.
Yeah. We effed up, Jeff.
Uh-oh.
Specifically me.
Let's talk about it.
At Evil Angela on Twitter wrote in, "Wait, you guys said Slick Chick has 5 bumpers in an X formation? Have you actually looked and counted?" She's right. I was thinking it spells the words Slick and Chick, and so I was like, oh yeah, there's 5 spelling the words. But it is an X formation, so there's actually a total of 9.
Oh boy.
Yeah, I was not looking at it at the time, and I misspoke. So good catch, Evil Angela. And Todd A. wrote in, I think we just described something wrong in the last episode. He was able to correct the clunkiness of the plunger on Wizard of Oz by adjusting the plunger mounting on the cabinet. Taylor and I were talking about how it kind of rattles on the way down out of the, I guess the upper plunge area.
Yeah.
The lanes area. It plunges fine on both of our games. There was no issue there. No adjustments were needed to be made. But there's a little piece of metal under the Munchkin playfield that intentionally bothers the ball there.
Perturbs it, you'd say?
Perturbs it, so that it might not always go one way or the other. I don't have a picture of it. I've taken that playfield off to put Cliffy's on it, but it didn't take any pictures. I'll try to find one. But no, it was an intentional design move to make the ball not launch, not always plunge smoothly at the top there, if you're soft plunging. So.
Oh, cool.
There we go.
Good to know.
Yes. News. We're already into news. What are we, like 5 minutes in? 6 minutes?
18? No, we're almost 20. We're not that efficient.
We are... Our last episode was 3 hours, and that'll be not the rule. Be the exception, not the rule.
That'll be they say, right? The outlier.
Mm-hmm. New color DMD. Did you see the new announcement, Jeff?
Yeah, the getaway.
Yeah. This one is a no-brainer. Lots of people have the getaway. Lots of people love that game. And it has pretty cool dot animations. So, should be a big seller for color DMD.
It makes me miss mine even more. I've missed that game for a long time, and that makes it hard. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen one come up. I don't know. I think that's going to be a thing that adds to that game quite a bit. So,
yeah.
Be cool.
Yeah. The orange doesn't look bad, in my opinion, on that game, but color will look even sweeter. There's lots of people on it. which is kind of fun to see in color.
Yeah. People look humans. So much better in color.
Typically. You'll be hearing more about that game a little later in the show.
Oh.
Magic Girl exists and is at the Northwest Pinball and Arcade Show.
Yeah, I really wish I could see what it looked like in a dark room.
Yeah. I watched a lot of pictures of it, but I did not watch any play video.
I watched some video.
Yeah, what do you think?
It looks cool. I mean, you know how video is from those conventions. You can't hear very well, and it was a pretty short one. They were trying to get some of the back glass in on it, and it wasn't really that easy to follow the ball around. It's not like your really nice Papa style setup where you can see the whole playfield and what's going on, but it definitely looks interesting. The art is fantastic, and it was nice to see that an actual machine does exist and is flippable. So, but I don't know. It felt pretty standard for a Papadoke game, if that makes sense. So,
well, he like as far as the
design and shots.
I noticed he used a lot of elements. We talked about in the past. He uses a lot of elements from past games.
Sure, sure.
So it calls back to a lot of them when the ball is actually moving, I guess.
I guess. I don't know. I would need to look at other videos of it. I only watched one. But like I said, I would love to see how that game looked in the dark, because the color's pretty neat. I think it would look really unique in a darker room.
It looks like the kind of game you need to be at the flipper buttons to...
Yeah. To appreciate.
Soak it all in. Because there's physically so many layers there to kind of see what all's going on. I would like to watch a video. I was a little Zidwared out lately.
It's hard to get excited or anything about. Just the whole situation's such a mess. Yeah. I don't know. I just kind of look at it because it's one of those deals. You have to see it to believe that's actually happening.
Yeah. I guess the excitement is that, hey, here's a new physical pinball machine that's out.
Yeah.
And that's fun. But.
And that people might actually get what they paid for?
At some point? Here's a $15,000 game. Here's what a $15,000 game looks like, which we hadn't seen before. Not a retail priced 15 grand anyway. Pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And also, did you see that the Capcom Kingpin, one of them popped up, like an unlisted one popped up and entered the collector fray.
Yeah. I'm assuming if that had been sold, say, on eBay or something, it probably would have fetched a bit higher price than whatever it sold for.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I heard Mark bought it, and I didn't make any assumptions as to who that was. But Mitchell Curtis had posted a picture of him with it. So I was like, oh, man, I want to call him up and grill him and see what the story is with it. Which might still be worthwhile. But
apparently he was a transporter.
Right. Yeah.
That's still fun. I mean, that's one of those games I've played that I do think it would sell well if they pulled a Big Bang Bar. I mean, it's not like they're going to be able to make 10,000 of them or anything, but if they did a run of 500, they'd sell them all for sure.
That's one I still need to play.
Yep.
They haven't brought one to Expo. At least not recently, have they?
No, there's always one at California Extreme, so that's one place.
I gotta make it out there. It sounds like I am probably gonna go to Expo this year. I found a loophole, and we were already heading to Ohio for a family vacation, and I said, "Well, why don't we do it the week of Expo? And while you're with your family, I'll rent another car and drive to Chicago, which is only 5 hours away.
That's not too bad.
Go to Expo for a couple days. Yeah, I don't need to spend 7 days in rural Ohio. Rural Ohio." So
don't you?
No, I've done it many times. First time I did it, I loved it. There was nothing to do, and that's what I needed. I just sat on the porch playing Yahtzee, literally for hours and hours a day. Second time, I was like, okay, I need something to do.
Yeah, the Yahtzee was novel one time around, but okay.
If they had brought in a Parcheesi board or something,
that'd be cool though. Make it down to Expo.
Yeah. I'll be talking more about that in a while.
Cool. But
Yes. We have never mentioned that the new Bare Naked Ladies album is pinball themed.
That's true, and that the music videos coming out from it are as well.
The lyrics?
The lyrics and the videos themselves.
Yeah, the music videos, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Yeah, it's called Silverball. It's out now. The title track, Silverball, is pinball themed in the video, but it is, and the lyrics are very pinball themed, but it's not like a power anthem or anything.
It's metaphorically, it's kind of a slower pinball.
It's what?
It's like pinball is a metaphor for a relationship. It's not like a pinball song itself, but I think that's definitely the best direction to take a pinball song.
It's a cute love song.
And then the, I think it's called like Say What You Want. Oh, I probably just butchered the name of that, but that's another one of the tracks. Yeah. And the full music video from that is them playing inside a pinball machine. So.
Yeah. That's really cool. And I think they physically, somebody rethemed a game to.
Yes, they did. Like that. Yep.
So it's used in the video, and of course there's like CG where they're obviously they're physically on a pinball machine in the pinball machine. Anyway, pretty cool.
Yeah. We had our corporate retreat this weekend, Don. And I want to let you know, we went boating on Friday. No injuries. Well, actually at one point our boat was almost crashing into the other boat we rented because they were trying to pass some beers back and forth, and I stuck my foot out to stop from hitting each other. I was able to push the other boat away, but one of the rope tie things whacked it, and it's my second smallest toe. I don't know if there's a name for that toe.
The ring toe, yeah.
Sure, the ring toe. It keeps falling asleep. So, but that's not what I was going to talk about. I was going to talk about, I got my first sunburn of the year. I'm a little bit tender. But so I should look nice and tanned for our live show.
I can't wait. You better get all this crap out of the way before the live show.
Oh, I'll have some updates for the live show too.
Physically have to duct tape your mouth shut.
That would cause an injury.
So if you want to hear more about Bare Naked Ladies' new album, Ed Robertson, lead singer, who's the big pinhead of the group, he is on Coast to Coast. He was on episode 169, I think. And he's also on Spooky Pinball that just came out this week, if I am correct in that. I think I am.
Yes. Even if you're not a fan of the band, it's hard not to like Ed when you hear him interviewed, because he's just, he's a funny, clever, goofy guy.
And he's one of us. It's not like he's dumbing everything down for us.
Yeah, and he's not like halfway in. He's all in. He uses all of the acronyms and everything.
Oh, yeah.
So he's definitely all in on it.
Anyway, worth a listen.
Yep.
I'm glad that it stays mostly pinball-oriented, too.
Yeah, it does.
At least on Coast to Coast. So cool. Speaking of podcasts, contributor to the show and longtime listener and prize maker giveawayer Ryan Claytor of ElephantEater.com. He did a one and done podcast this week as well. I'll put the link up in the show notes. And he talks about the different designs he's done, which he's done a lot more than I knew about all of them, but when he says them all in a row, I'm like, holy crap, that guy's done a lot of t-shirts for the hobby. So he talks about how he got into that work and doing different designs, and even just playing at home, how he got into the hobby. He's more into the artistic side rather than the repair side, so he does touch-ups and whatnot, which are really, really in-depth, and he takes a lot of pictures and has put little articles up on Elephant Eater, and he links to all that stuff, so you can get the whole Claytor experience in one shot. And it sounds really good too. His editing is good and his sound quality is great, so good job, Ryan.
The multi-talented
a bunch of times.
Yeah,
super talented. Makes me feel like less of a man. So thanks, Ryan.
Good work, Ryan.
Yeah, so check that out. Upcoming events, of course, we Again, we have Rocky Mountain Pinball Showdown in Denver, Colorado, June 12th through 14th. So this weekend, if you're listening when this is released, check out pinballshowdown.com for more information. Then the weekend after that, you got Southern Fried Game Room Expo in Atlanta, June 19th through 21st. That is southernfriedgameroomexpo.com. And then Northwest Pinball's over. Replay FX, of course, is late July. We talked a little bit about that. ReplayFX.org, right?
Yep.
Yes. ReplayFX. I'll put a link in the show notes to all of that stuff. Was that it? Can you hear my kids screaming, by the way?
I cannot.
I can't tell if it's just in my lizard brain. That's going to be the new Maverick saying lizard brain every episode. Or if I can actually physically hear it.
I don't hear it, but doesn't mean it's like not they happening. Were going down.
Yeah. You can always check out pinside.com/pinball/events for events in your area. But those are kind of the biggies. Oh, crap. You know what? Somebody actually emailed us about an event they're doing in July, and I totally forgot about it and didn't put it in our show notes. So thanks, guy. A lot of people have been emailing
my personal email,
and it screws me up because I'm not gonna like go in and look at my personal email for.
The brain doesn't log it the same way as when it comes through the official.
That's right. Well, the official I can at least just look at and be like, oh yeah, here this, and this. Whatever. Sorry, guy. I'm looking right here again, and I don't see it in here. In our email. So stay tuned to that on the next episode. I will try and figure out what the heck that was. Exciting.
We'll get back to it.
Yeah, we'll get back to it.
There's time.
We're half hour in and we're ready for our featured five.
Oh.
Are you okay with that?
Yes.
I'm okay with it.
This is a fun one. This is one that needs to be like revisited every once in a while.
Yeah, because this is one that is fluid and definitely has changed over the years for me. I assume obviously also for you.
Very much.
This is kind of a personal one, though, so you're not going to get any slick repair tips out of it.
Sorry for those that wanted that.
So we are talking about our top five most wanted games. These are the five games that Jeff and I personally want in our collections. Not necessarily our Moby Dicks, because I think there are games... At least mine, I could probably get most of them if I wanted to just go troll Pinside or eBay and get them.
Yeah.
It's not like a Kingpin where it's just, you can't find it.
Yeah, none of mine are unattainable, I would say.
No, mine aren't either. Mine are all in my price range, too. Even at my, I can't afford any pinball price.
Yeah, more an issue for me is my space range rather than my price range. Because bringing stuff in means sending stuff out, and right now... it'd be pretty tough to cut anything, so. We'll see.
If Batman goes, that's great and all, but I've got a Whirlwind and a Pinbot waiting to take its spot already in the garage, so. Anyway, so we're doing our top five. We ranked them literally from 1 to 5. Like, number one is the one I want the most. And we're going to go through counting down 5 to 1. Sound good?
Yeah, I'm ready to do that.
Okay. Do you want to go first or second?
Sure, I'll start. Sure. My number 5 is a Skyjump EM. One of those EMs that you see it everywhere as far as shows and stuff goes, but it's usually in the tournament area. So if you want to play it, you got to pony up and enter the tournament. But every once in a while, it's available to play. And I think every time I've played it, I've really enjoyed it. It's not real complicated. It's fast. It's hard. It's just a lot of fun. So I would love to have a Sky Jump.
There's typically one at Rocky Mountain, so we should challenge each other on it.
Yeah,
it's one player though, right?
Yeah.
So someone will always lose.
Definitely, I will always lose in Sky Jump, but I like it. So
I kind of cheated on my 5 and my 4.
Oh, you didn't.
Oh, I did. 5 is the most cheaty-ish. I was thinking about my list, and a lot of games fell into the same category, which is a racing pin. I really want an Indy 500. I really want a Corvette. I really want a Mustang. I'd be cool with a NASCAR. I like that game a lot. And I was like, well, that's, you know, that's four games right there. Getaway was one that keeps popping up in my head. Like, man, I really like Getaway. It's one that I never really cared for either. But the more I play it, the more I like Getaway. So, boom, there's five games. They're all similar themes.
I get it. Okay. Like, you'd take any of these. So
I would take any of those. I think they're all somewhat obtainable and somewhat affordable. Mustang probably the most expensive game on my list.
Yeah, and from what I've heard, like, Mustang was one of those ones that I worried about that, like, what if we discover later that it's secretly super awesome and that we won't find it? But I guess it's been selling really well.
Really? That's good.
Yeah. So that's just kind of some insider info I've heard, but that it's actually sold higher than the expectation they had for it.
Good.
And that that's been pretty big. And I guess that's kind of a bit of relief because it's been showing up in tournaments and stuff, and that's kind of what got Iron Man going. Is it was in tournaments, and then after people watched it enough, they kind of realized it was pretty cool. So,
So this will have a resurgence in a couple of years. Well, and it's already getting better buzz now than it was a year ago.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I agree. That's a fun game. I wish I knew it better because I'm going to be playing it next weekend in the tournament, but I think it's cool. It's a cool game.
Yeah, great game. NASCAR used to be, like, in my top two. Like, I really wanted a NASCAR. But the more I played other racing games, I'm like, yeah, NASCAR's fine and all, but these seem more challenging. NASCAR, I always feel like I do really good at, and I don't necessarily want games that I do really good at in my collection.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
So. Anyway, okay, so what's your number four, Jeff?
My number four is also a cheat. How about that?
That's all right.
Though this is a way more fair cheat. So this is a game I've owned before, and that's Jackbot, but I would also take a Pinbot. So not one more than the other. Just found the right deal, the right machine on one or the other, I'm in. So Pinbot / Jackbot. Look great next time I ride a Pinbot.
Oh, yeah, you need that 1-2 punch there.
Yeah.
For a long time, I wanted to upgrade the Pinbot into a Jackbot.
Mm-hmm.
Which I still would love to play a Jackbot more, have a Jackbot for a while. But I think Pinbot is a keeper for me, and Jackbot would be a, you know,
shorter stay.
A year kind of game. Yeah.
Yeah. It would, and I think, I mean, either one's fine, but I think it would look so cool to have that classic pairing of a Pinbot and a Bride of Pinbot next to each other. Be pretty cool.
Yeah. So. We had it for a year or so, and then I sold the Bride of Pinbot.
Yeah, I know. You're terrible. Wife never
forgive me.
She shouldn't. But that's okay.
Yes.
I've forgiven you.
So my number four is my other cheat, but I really want one of the Gottlieb street level games. I love Hoops, I think is probably my favorite, and Title Fight. Actually, okay. Title Fight, I would take over a Hoops. But those are my two big ones. Car Hop, I like a lot. Deadly Weapon. Deadly Weapon, it would be at the bottom of that pile. But the other three, I would love to have as a keeper, I think. They're really fun. I like the shots. I like what they were able to do with just such a simple design.
Yeah, and those games, you know, they're not super complicated rules or anything, but they're just a fun shooters game, I guess, is they can put those and easy to shop and maintain, so there's a lot of positives on them.
Silver Slugger is probably the most popular, but that's one I don't think I've ever played. I think Jake Danzig has one, right? I'm hoping to someday crash his collection and play it. Okay, number three, sir.
My number three, I think I just need to just follow after you a little bit more often when you're selling stuff or getting stuff, and that is X-Men. I think X-Men's a fantastic game, and I would like to own one, Pro, LE, whatever. But if it's LE, I think I'd want a Magneto, but I'd be totally happy with a pro as well, or Wolverine. I just it's a fun game. Again, it's one of those ones too that I think the tournament scene helped people realize that was a good game, and then obviously code updates, they were able to get a lot more out of that game than what it was at launch. So
yeah, X-Men's a great game.
Yeah, plus I have Spider-Man and Iron Man, so it kind of would fit in with a little I could have a little comic book corner. I'd probably switch them into the other room and put them all together, so that'd be cool.
Yeah. Well, X-Men is one that seems to show up somewhat. I mean, it seems to be somewhat readily available.
Yeah.
So it'll be there when you're ready for it.
Yeah, and that's one that I could see that if the demand was there, that Stern could possibly do a small run on them, since it probably had a shorter run than I think the game warrants as far as its quality goes.
Yeah. But definitely with the pros.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, we actually got a question on our Facebook from Mitchell Curtis. He said it's a question for Don regarding X-Men. He recalls the saga of getting the game from Amazon, but then he says an episode or two later saying he got rid of it, which surprised him. He just got a Wolverine and he's loving it. He was wondering if I could talk more on owning it and why it didn't last long in my collection. Did Storm intimidate you?
Yours was just more of a timing thing, right? Like on the buy and the sell.
Yeah. I got it in August and I sold it around February, so I only had it about 6 months. And I love that game. The experience owning it, that was the game we played the most. My kids liked it. It was on the end of the run where it was like the first pin you came to when you walked into that part of my house.
Yeah.
And the kids wanted to play it like every day. So I loved it. There's nothing I didn't like about the game, except maybe I wish the DMD would have given you a little more information.
Or Beast.
Oh, yeah. Beast. Yeah. Some of the voice acting is awful, but it's not a deal breaker.
No. And in the end, it's awful in kind of a little bit of an awesome way. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah. It didn't put a sour taste in my mouth.
No.
The reason I sold it is because a local collector was clearing out his collection, and he was getting rid of his Tron. It was a home use only Tron Pro. It had all the mods in it. But the only way I could get it is if I sold a game, and I knew I could do okay selling X-Men, and the layout is similar enough to Tron that I felt like it was sort of... they were played in the same ballpark. It filled the same hole.
Yes.
Quote unquote in my collection, Tron and X-Men. They're kind of a mirrored layout. And Tron is the one that was like, that's my keeper game. That's the one I always wanted. I didn't think I'd get one. It got to where I knew if I was going to get one, it would either be, well, it would have to be routed or I'd be paying retail. And since I basically did pay retail, but all the mods were already in it.
Yeah.
I knew the owner. It was in great shape, and I didn't have to ship it because it lives across the street.
Yeah, that's rare, so. Too. And plus, you're more likely to come across another X-Men than another Tron, especially in that condition and in those circumstances. So.
Yeah. If I had tons of space to have every game, I would have tried to find the money for Tron. But really, I couldn't find $6,000 just laying around. That I was willing to put towards pinball anyway, so something had to go, and X-Men was the one on the chopping block.
Cool.
So that's the only reason. No knock on X-Men, but
no, we both love that game.
Yeah. Okay. X-Men was your number three, right?
Yes.
Okay, my number three is Gottlieb's Gladiators.
Oh, yeah.
It was supposed to be Legend of Zelda. Everybody says, you know.
The Triforce is still there.
Yeah, Triforce is still there. That's sort of like the, whatever, not the selling point, but that's what it's known for. But it's a really fun layout, and it's a fun game. The shots are cool. I like the way those Gottliebs feel. It's not that hokey. Like, a lot of the Gottliebs in the 90s, you know, catch a lot of grief, but... It's fun. I don't know. I think it's a great game. And it's one that I could get cheap enough and keep it in my collection for a while, have a great time with, and, you know, move it along without breaking the bank.
Definitely. Cool. I like that one.
Yes.
my number two, man. We're really getting here. And this is going to be the probably surprise of the group, but I would really like, and it's funny because there's a ton of them out of there, and I've just never had one good opportunity locally, is an F-14 Tomcat. Cool. It's a cool, fast game, not super complicated on rules, but F-14s are always going to be awesome as far as theme, I mean. Like, who doesn't love fighter jets? But it's just it's a very different change of pace game. I've always liked it. I'd like to get better at it. So not a whole lot you say on that. And again, one of those lower price games too. So it's an easy pickup if I find one.
Did I ever tell you about my F-14 dream?
No, but I want to hear all about it.
Because who doesn't love hearing about other people's dreams?
I know, right?
I had a dream about F-14 Tomcat, but I had never played it, and I hadn't really paid that close attention to the layout and whatnot. Like, I hadn't studied it or anything. This was early into the hobby for me, and I had a dream where, like, the jet was coming up out of the playfield, kind of like the Ironmonger on Iron Man. It would rise up, and then it would move around the playfield. And the layout was actually more similar to Capcom's Airborne.
Yeah.
Than F-14, but I was like, holy crap, that is like the coolest game in my head, in my dream. So I woke up, and then I started researching it, and I was like, oh yeah, it's not. It's
nothing like
that. Nothing like that, but at Rocky Mountain 2 years ago, they had a one that played pretty well, and that was the first time I got to spend a decent amount of time with it, and I do like that game. It's not really for me, but it's a great game. I'm not good enough to kind of do that.
It's abusive. It does not treat you right. I'll admit that, so.
Well. Good one, though.
Yeah, fun game.
All right, my number two, I've mentioned it several times, is a Bally Vector. Ever since I played it, it's like something just got its hooks into me. That was the first time I played it was at Texas in 2011, maybe? And I was just kind of walking through and playing every game I'd ever seen or heard of, and I came to that one, and I went back to it. And I'd never heard of it before, and just something about it kept me coming back and back and back. It has a radar gun, basically, on it.
Yeah.
It tells you the speed of the game. It's got, like, a small upper play field, a really bizarre layout and a weird theme, but, like, not bad enough that I wouldn't want it in my house, like Genesis or something.
Yeah. No, that's actually a pretty cool game. It's a shame there's not more of those.
Yeah. I bought my Simpsons. I drove to Denver and back with my friend David in one day. And the day after we got back, somebody put one up for sale in Denver.
Oh, of course.
For $600. And I was like, man, I just dropped $3,000 or whatever on Simpsons. I don't want to drive up to Denver. I let it go, and then I haven't seen one since. And that was 3 years ago. And I know you're super excited about the Led Zeppelin project. Hammer of the Gods, or whatever.
Gods.
From Classic Playfield Reproductions.
They I like the kit. Concept.
Yes.
Don't get me wrong.
There's a Led Zeppelin kind of knockoff kit that you can get for $1,600, but it's for a Bally Vector.
Right. So, and I just couldn't kill a Vector for...
not for
a
that
custom game. Pin, you know?
Well, I could kill one for a custom pin, but not... that
right. Okay. So. I mean, I don't know. I think there's a lot of games that we could have killed before that, though.
Yeah. It sucks because, like, another game that would be on my short list is definitely in, like, my top 20 is Dolly, but then Las Vegas is a Dolly.
And they've all disappeared.
I'm like, yeah, so what's with all these, like, oddball games that I kind of dig that are getting rethemed? Which I guess you would want to retheme a game that's fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to play the same, so.
Yeah. So it might be even harder for me to find a Vector, but I do want one.
Yeah, you truly have Preston, the hardest life.
What's that?
I said you truly do have the hardest life.
I know, it's tough being me. Preston at Game Room Junkies, with the Game Room Junkies, he has, like, my ideal collection almost. He's got Tron, Metallica, Vector, Mata Hari. There's another one he has. That I was really into. I don't remember. Whatever. I told him whatever. As soon as he got that Vector, I was like, dude, you want to get rid of it? You want to get rid of it? Let me know when you get rid of it.
I'll start emailing him on your behalf saying, hey, if you want to get rid of that, I know someone who wants it.
Yeah. Oh, well. All right, Jeff, what's your number one?
My number one is pretty, I don't know. I think it's not shocking because I've talked about it on the show for a while, and I've been close to pulling the trigger on it for a while. Man. No, because I got that, right? Oh, that was the previous number one. But I think maybe some people will be surprised that I put it above the other ones on my list, and that's Elvira and the Party Monsters. Mm. It's probably a game that wouldn't be like my never sell it once I get it game, but I want to own one for at least a while because I think it's a really fun game. I think it's more fun than Scared Stiff, which is a game I like, but I think it's the better of the two Elvira games. It looks great, sounds great. The sounds are top notch on that game. I don't know. I just think it's a lot of fun. It's a very, this makes any sense at all, a very pure pinball experience. So
yeah,
it's just straight up, like, easy to understand rules. I don't know. Has a cool flow to it. Whatever. I like it.
The sound package on that is awesome. One of
my
favorites.
Yeah, one of the best.
Yeah. Yeah. Our package is great too.
Yeah.
Good. That's a good number one pick. It does all the things right that my number one does wrong.
Yeah. The only reason I didn't buy one, because I had very close to making a deal on one, was because I was holding out for an Iron Man, which I have now. So.
Oh, no more holdouts.
No more holding out.
Yeah. I sold my Party Monsters because I was like, oh, I love this game, but someday I'll find one in nicer shape. Which, yeah. Who knows if I will. But it was definitely not collector quality, but it was still fun. Played great.
Yeah, it's still fun to play.
Yeah. Oh, well. So you probably know my number one, right?
I would say
I've Magic Girl. Hundreds of times. No. It's something I could afford.
I don't know, because like, I don't think you would have guessed my number one, even though I've talked about it. I'm trying to think what yours would be.
It's a Stern. I've mentioned it many times. But my wife hates it.
Oh, is it? It's not World Poker Tour, is it?
No. That'd be up there. It is a Patlar game.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's don't say it. It's Ripley's.
No.
No.
Very it's close pretty, though.
It's not Monopoly, is it?
No. Come on, Jeff.
No.
Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Oh yeah, duh. For some reason, I thought you had that for a while though.
No, I mentioned it probably every episode for.
No, I know you love that
3 game. Years now. Yeah, I don't care what everybody says. I still want Roller Coaster Tycoon. I love that game. It's cheap and it's awesome. Like the layout is awesome.
There's troll so much
weird
it.
Stuff going on. I hate the troll like everybody else. There's a lot of things I don't like about it, but I don't care. I need to own one for a while.
Yeah.
Until I'm done owning it.
It's a good Pat Lawler experience. Like,
yes.
It's the essence of Pat Lawler. Like, he did a lot of stuff here.
Yeah, it's super over the top.
That's
a good lot pick. Of crap packed into a little normal body game.
So there you have it. Top two games all time by the Pinball Podcast, Roller Coaster Tycoon and Elvira and the Party Monsters.
Yeah.
Most desirable pins.
Mm-hmm. Something like that. Do you have honorables? I'm sure you do.
I have a few. One that we've both talked about a lot would be Mata Hari. Mm-hmm. I actually really want one. The only issue I ever have with that game is it's almost always blown out. They got loved when they were out there, but there's so many, so that's why I keep waiting, because I'll know I'll find one in the right condition. I'm not so panicked to get one because there are so many. So that's why it didn't quite slip in the top five. I figure eventually I'll get one. It'll be cool. Should I go through all my honorables or you want to bounce back and forth?
Whatever. Keep going.
Okay, I'll run through them. Funhouse. I had one for a very short amount of time. Always wouldn't mind having a Funhouse around. Eldorado, the EM.
Mm-hmm.
I like that game a lot. And then I talk about it every time we're about to go to Rocky Mountain Pinball Showdown and every time we get home, and that's that Cherry Belly. If the guy, whoever owns that, is willing to sell it, let me know, man. I'd give it a good home for a little while. So that's about it for now.
Yeah, nice.
And World Poker Tour. I do like that game. I think it's fun.
Yeah, World Poker Tour is great. I know you talked about wanting a World Cup Soccer again at some point.
Yeah, yeah. I left out most of the stuff. The list of
games we want is, you know, 50 games probably.
Right. I left out most of the stuff that I've owned before because, except for Jackbot, I did mention again, but yeah.
Cool. There's two on my list that are worth more than I would want to spend on them, and that is Attack from Mars and Circus Voltaire. I'd love to have some time.
Yeah. But
I'm not going to drop $6,000 on that right now. Price. Another one that's probably a little higher is NBA. Stern's NBA, I'd love to have.
Get Space Jam.
I could get Space Jam at some point. I'd love to have a Demolition Man. Swords of Fury and Old Chicago.
Oh, yeah. Swords of Fury for sure.
Yeah. There's some solid ones. I don't know. I have a list on... My wish list is on Pinside, but those are kind of the highlights of that list.
Right.
Like Fathom, I'm probably never going to have. Abracadabra, same deal. Medusa, maybe I could get one someday. So, cool. It's kind of fun. Also, I forgot. I had my wife write down her five most wanted games, and I did not look at the list.
Do you have the list, though?
Yeah, I have the list, but I've kept it secret from myself. Let's see here. So
it just says, list. Get back my Bride of Pinbot, get back my Bride of Pinbot, get back my Pinbot.
Yeah. I think she was stressed out. I don't think she thought about this enough. But she wants a Fathom.
Cool.
A Hobbit, but she's not played it. I wanted a Hobbit, too, until I played it. Twilight Zone, which we're pissed off that we sold, but what are you going to do?
I have one, Don.
Yeah, I know. Thanks. I quit my job. Medieval Madness and Adam's Family. So,
I have an Adam's Family.
Okay. I don't like Adam's Family enough to own, but the rest of them,
I don't know.
I want to play more Hobbit, but I didn't enjoy it that much.
We can play it this weekend. Set up good.
I know, but I hope it's set up good.
Yeah. Butch will be there with it. And
cool.
If for some reason it's listless, flat, we'll get him to give us a better shot at it, I think, in better circumstances. So
I didn't really mention many EMs. I'd love to have an Impacto, but they don't exist, and a Centigrade 37.
Oh, right,
that and Old Chicago are my two kind of biggies.
Yeah. Also, I didn't mention it because no chance, but I'm really excited to play America's Most Haunted this weekend, and like I would almost blind buy one at this point just because nobody ever says anything bad about it.
Right.
So it's great. But it'll be fun to see it
and play it.
Yeah.
Very soon. Cool. Okay, that was fun. So as part of our contest, write in, let us know what's on your wish list. Email us pinballpodcast@gmail.com and you'll be entered to win one of the Pop Bumper nightlights from tiltcycle.com.
Thank you, Dan.
Yeah, thank you, Dan. They're really cool. It's real easy. You plug it in. It looks just like a lit Pop Bumper, but it's a nightlight. They're awesome. So, again, email us what games you want. It could be one game. It could be 50 games. But email us pinballpodcast@gmail.com to be entered to win. And we will draw a winner in 2 weeks.
I gotta say, when you plug them in and they light up, they're special.
They're pretty sweet. Okay. Good. Thank you. Do you want to talk about virtual tables a little bit?
Sure. Sure. Yeah.
Sure. So we're assuming Roadshow is coming to Pinball Arcade, but we don't know.
Oh, yeah. Crap. If it's not that, I'll be surprised. It has to be that.
Let me... Zacharia just added a game, and I...
Yeah, I noticed that the icon changed and updated, so I didn't go see what the new table was, but...
Lucky Fruit.
Everybody's...
They added Lucky Fruit.
Cool. Yeah, I'll have to try that out. That's a, such a cool app.
Yeah, it's a great... Dude, if you look at the list of stuff they changed in the last update, it is... There must be at least 40 different things they changed on the new update. They update it like every other month, every month or so. Uh-huh. But this is a huge update where they just fixed a lot of things. They fine-tuned things. It has that new physics engine in it. They also added Pinball Champ 83 if you're a silver or gold member, which I'm a gold member. I think it was like $30 and you get all of the tables ever released and whatnot.
It's also your favorite Austin Powers movie.
Gold member. Oh yeah. Gold member. Yeah. It is my least favorite Austin Powers movie. That's true. Anyway, lots of stuff there. So check out the Zacharia Pinball app on iOS and the other thing, Android.
Yes. Definitely.
Yes. And I wanted to mention Shobon Flip on iOS. It is kind of a weird game because there's like dudes flexing in the background and like clenching their butts. But it's like this, it's not like a human. It's like this cat face guy. Okay, but beyond that, it's sort of like a platformer with a pinball. You don't really like die or anything. If your ball drains, which is fairly difficult to drain, whatever, you get it back right away. But the screen changes. Each level changes. I think it's $1 on iOS.
Wait, and it's called Shobon Flip?
Shobon Flip. Shobon Flip.
Okay.
It might even be free. I think it was $1, though. Anyway, I downloaded it, and it's more like a sniper kind of game. Like, you have to hit... If you hit exact shots, then your ball will enter a goal. Like, the goal moves on each table or each screen, and the angles of the shots change each screen. It's sort of difficult to describe, but it'll make more sense when you're looking at it. And it's kind of fun. For $1, it's definitely worth a look. I've been playing on an iPad, and it's cool. It's really fast. I mean, you can... Sometimes you'll hit the... If you hit the angle perfect, you'll get a hole-in-one. But it's just the aesthetic is kind of weird.
Yeah.
It's like Limbo, but in color, as far as the aesthetic.
Okay. I just want to... So they're selling it as a pinball platformer, but I just want to put out there that someone went with this headline on their review for it. Shobon Flip Review. There has to be a twist. Mm. Can't get away from Pinball Wizard, even in the world of app games.
There has to be a twist? Is that in the lyrics of Pinball Wizard?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh. I don't know.
Okay. It actually looks kind of cool. The color and stuff looks kind of neat on it. I don't know.
It's fine. For $1, if you're into pinball, go for it. If you played Adama and enjoyed it, then that's way beyond this, and this is a no-brainer for $1.
Oh, I saw the weird flexing guys. Okay.
Yeah. There was a Wii game that was had a similar aesthetic about dudes flexing.
Yeah, I don't know what it was off the top of my head, but I know what you're talking about.
It wasn't Mount Your Friends. It's not that like sexually geared.
Right, no.
It's more just weird than sexy. Yeah. Okay. And I wanted to mention a game that is on crowdfunding of the month segment. It's on Steam's Greenlight, whatever that is. What's it called? That's what it's called, right?
Greenlight, yeah.
Yeah, so basically, if enough people vote this game up, it'll get listed on Steam. Is that how it works?
Yeah, it's to give them a full listing. Yep.
Okay. So it's a game called Hard Hat Zone. It's kind of like Little People. Or what are they called? The Fisher-Price Little People. That's what they're called, right? Fisher-Price, yes. They're like little round people.
Yep.
Okay. It's kind of like that aesthetic, but a pinball video game about construction. Whatever. It looks fun. Oh, my gosh. My low IQ and lack of enunciation, articulation, limited vocabulary is making this episode difficult. Dig?
It's okay. I think that just revisiting the whole idea of Shobon Flip rewired your brain in some manner. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Shobon Flip.
Okay. Did we mention that with the last Pinball Arcade release that they did. We mentioned the updated physics, right? That they
I don't know if you can now
do live catches and
tip passes and stuff.
Tip passes, yeah, a lot better than you ever could.
So. We did mention it just now.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's a thing now. We've had discussions whether we feel that Zen or Farsight has the better physics engine. I don't know. People seem to fall on different sides of that. I used to think it was Pinball Arcade, then I switched to Zen, and now I just don't know anymore, Don. I don't know. They're different.
No idea.
That's all I know.
I don't know. People like to bitch about this and that, but I always kind of say, I don't care. Pinball's
fun to play.
It's all fun. Yeah, it's fun. Yeah. If I'm having fun, I don't really care.
So
there you go. And I forgot, Eric Mongi is the one that gave me the heads up on that Zachariah update. So thanks, cool. Eric. Yeah. Solid dude. Speaking of Eric, a completely different Eric wrote in. He's a longtime listener. If you guys remember, we brought up his World Cup soccer a long time ago, and he asked how to shop it out and whatnot.
Yes. And we mentioned the joy of Cliffy's with a World Cup soccer.
Right.
The goal.
He says, anyway, I ended up selling it about a year ago, but I missed it too much, and I picked up another one for a good price. But he says, with good prices also come problems. When the game is turned on, the left flipper instantly gets energized.
Oh, yeah.
I managed to find out that it was a broken transistor. I ordered new ones, so I hope that'll do the trick. The question he has is on the one lamp matrix seems to be out. And I was just wondering what I should do first, if you guys have any good tips on how to fix it. He also says, what is the site that we have mentioned, the pinball repair site that you have to donate to gain access to?
That's Pinball Ninja.
Yeah, pinballninja.com. A $20 donation will get you in.
Yes. So he's looking at ideas of what could be causing the lamp issue.
Yeah.
First thing I'd always check is the connector. Is it toasty?
Mm-hmm. On the board.
Yeah, check the board. Yeah, not just the connector, not just like the Molex collect, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Check the board, see how those pins are doing. If it's bad on one side or the other, replace both sides. Then you could check for any pinches in the harness. Like sometimes as the playfield's lifted or lowered or people work on it, they can pinch a wire and that could cause an issue, cause a break in the wire. I'm trying to think.
It's
a lot of stuff, really. It could be, but
if it's GI, it's probably crispy.
Yeah, box. Probably. That's. I guess we don't know are the controlled lamps or.
Yeah.
It depends, but I think again we mentioned it earlier, but PinWiki has a pretty good checklist to run through. Of what those could be, but usually if it's a Bally or Williams game from that era, you're gonna have some burnt connectors when the lamps start going out like that.
So. Yep, I think I emailed them and replied, but it's a good tip for new enthusiasts.
Yeah,
so it's pretty common. You'll have a whole string out, and it's those crispy connectors.
Yeah, you're not to the point to where you just go ahead and. If you get a game that's never been worked on, that you work on it, right? You wait till a problem arises, right?
Well, I'll usually shop them out right away.
Yeah, but like I'm saying, you're shopping out a game, and you're like, oh, I know these often have problems, so I'm just going to go ahead and
fix it now.
Because, yeah, I've waited, and I don't until a problem shows up. In pinball, if it's working, I don't fiddle with it. But
that's right.
My attack from Mars,
fix it, is what they say.
Yep, my attack from Mars, all the back box lights on the GI went out, all the controlled ones work. So I looked, and the connector's a little bit brown. So it's time to go through and fix it.
Yeah, not uncommon.
Yeah, it's not my favorite repair job, to be honest. I hate taking solder to a board. Anytime I have to do that, I just don't like it.
I don't mind. I talked a while back about how David Robinson basically donated the bulk of the cost of a Hakko 808 solder vacuum.
Oh, right.
To the Pinball League. That is totally worth it, man. When I did the one on Lethal Weapon a couple weeks ago, I just zip, 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 suck the new one in. And
so how do those work? I've always just used the pump kind.
It's the same thing as a pump kind, but think of the tip as being hot in a vacuum. You just
stick it
over the pin. It heats up the solder, and
you don't have to time it or anything crazy like that. You just
no. You could, I guess, sit on it, but you don't want to.
No. You take time. You set it down, lift it up, set it down, and it takes care. Like what I mean by timing, you know, with the sucker kind, you get your tip down, then you have to bring in the sucker, and sometimes slap it on works real quick and pop it.
No. It's because the tip of the vacuum is hot. It's loosening the solder, and then you suck it up.
Zzz. Man, that sounds too nice.
It's like a gun. You pull the trigger, and it sucks.
That'd be great for transistors too, because
yeah, have you
sometimes it is a bugger getting those transistors out.
Yeah, it's great, man.
Yeah, I've gotten pretty good with the old solder sucker style. I have the kind that you click it down, press the button, and it pops. That works pretty well, but I would like something easier.
That type, the pump kind, I'm not like super skilled, so those work better if it's just like a leg where I can just cut it and suck it, you know?
Right.
But if I'm having to like swap back and forth, get it totally clean to move on to the next one, like a chip, like when I did road shows, any NV RAM backup thing or whatever.
Right.
It took a little longer because I had to clean them a couple times.
Hmm.
I did not have the vacuum at that point, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. I am interested. I just think it's also, it minimizes the amount of heat that you ultimately end up putting down on the board for as long. So that's always good.
Yep. It's $180, comes in a nice case with a bunch of cleaning stuff and extra parts. And
I'll think about that then.
Yes. It's worth it. If you do one a month, I'd say it's worth it.
Right.
Something I want to ask you, if you know, is I don't have any games that have old batteries, except for Simpsons, like that use double A's anymore. Because Roadshow, I put that NeRAM chip in. The Stern, like the, is it nickel cadmium, the flat ones? Whatever, they use like cadmium. The watch battery style. They look like a stack of quarters. Those last like, what, 5 years? But they don't corrode, right?
I've never seen one corrode, right? I don't think they do.
Have you ever had to replace one? Do you ever swap them out?
I've never had to.
I never have either.
No.
Huh. I'm just wondering if it's a preventative maintenance thing where you go, okay, well, it's been in there for 4 years, let's swap it out.
I've never had to, but that doesn't mean it's not a thing.
Is it going to be like a Zelda cartridge where it lasts 30
years? Way longer than it's supposed to.
Right.
I still have original Nintendo and Super Nintendo games that save just fine. And they're not too supposed to at this point.
No. Okay, I don't know. If you know, email me, pinballpodcast@gmail.com, but I don't know.
Okay.
We got two questions from Dr. Axolotl, whatever, BlobfishXL on Twitter. One of them is top three foreign manufactured games. I would probably have to think about that and get back to it. That might be a fun one for next episode.
Yeah.
Impacto would definitely be my number one. But
I don't think that Henkin Empire Strikes Back is going to win that award.
No. I would love to play a new Canasta.
Yeah, I'd like to play one of those, but
Yeah, I'd love to just see one in person, I guess. I don't know how it plays.
Jolly Park's fun.
Jolly Park's great, yeah.
I talked about Cherry Bell already this episode.
What manufacturer is that?
That is... Is it Sagasa? Let me see.
I don't know.
Sorry.
That's okay. The next question is directed
Sonic.
At you. So. Oh, Sonic, okay. That's a Spanish company, right?
Yes.
Okay. Cherry Bell. His other question, I would like to hear a list of Jeff's vids. I know it's off topic, but he mentions it a lot, so he wonders.
My
vids?
What
do you got, Jeff? Your video games, your stand-up cabinets.
Right now, I'll just mention what I have in the basement. I have Ms. Pac-Man, Donkey Kong, both of which have been like fully restored. Spy Hunter, Championship Sprint. It's the two-player version of that. And then I have a restored Punch-Out. And I also have a MAME cabinet, which is pretty rad. And then an Akari Warriors, those rotary sticks. So the Akari Warriors is over at my brother's house, though. So that's the one actually I mentioned that's not in the basement right now. Sorry. And then I have a Japanese candy cab that is just JAMA that you can swap stuff out. And I'm trying to decide what I want to do with that. I may sell it. It has a rotatable screen, and it's one of those huge screens. So I might make it as either a dedicated fighting game where I can just swap in like Street Fighters and such. Or I might turn it into a shooter, like a vertical and horizontal scrolling shooter cabinet, and cool. Just swap games out of that once in a while. So
sweet.
But yeah, those are the vids for now. Spy Hunter needs a new monitor. It's down for the count right now. Monitor smoked, and I've repaired monitors, but I'm to the point with it now. I just want to put something new and reliable in it. So
cool.
Yeah.
Nice collection there. Let me know when you get rid of that Punch-Out, when you're ready to get rid of Punch-Out.
Yeah, there's about 40 people that are lined up to buy that.
I'm sure.
Such a fun game.
I love that, it's like, vectored little Mac.
But there was a time where I had a ton of vids, and I downsized a lot of them when we moved, just because the thought of moving a lot of them was tough. And then I've recently sold quite a few just that I had in storage, and I thought I can rebuy them later, but spending the money to store them all was getting ridiculous. I had two storage units, so
jeez.
I had to do something about that. It was just eating a hole in my fun money.
Yeah. So. I remember you had APB.
Yeah, I just recently sold the APB. Marvel versus Capcom. And I've sold a few recently. So.
Yeah. So there you go, Blobfish XL. Mm-hmm. Ryan Claytor wrote in. He wrote me, and I thought he was just sticking around, but he's actually asking a serious question. It's hard to choose from Ryan.
He's no clown, Don.
No slouch either. He has a brother who lives in Singapore. He's interested in creating a virtual pin. He wants it to all be in one monitor, though. So he's going to mount a TV screen to a coffee table. Uh-huh. He's not going to have like a back box display or DMD or anything. So he wanted to know where to go, any discussion forums on how to do it yourself. I told him check out vpforums.org. I gave him the right one, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I guess I should look since we're talking about it on our podcast that we do
right now. Vpforums. I don't know if they're still around, but didn't Pinball Nirvana have a ton of really good emulation info?
I will check. I don't know. It's vpforums.org.
Okay.
Pinball Nirvana?
I thought it was Pinball Nirvana.
VPM support files, visual install pack. Yeah, it looks like they do.
Okay.
So, Ryan, have him check out that, pinballnirvana.com. I told him, as far as having extra monitors, you can put the score display, you can overlay it on the play field in the top left corner, or probably wherever you want, but by default, it goes to the top left corner, just like Zen Pinball, kind of the same thing, where the DMD or the score reel will sit there.
Right.
So, pretty easy fix. Does it automatically, as far as I can tell. Anyway. So, yeah. Good example if you have a small collection. And Jeff and I both like, visual pinball. It's a lot of fun. It is not the same, before we get any comments, it is not the same as a real thing, but it's still fun.
It's a good way to at least experience rules and kind of get the flow down. And if it's your only option, like, it's not a bad option.
Yeah. Better than no pinballs.
Yes.
And Taylor Reese wrote in, when will pinball companies be expected to act like real companies? And I didn't totally understand what he was getting at, but his whole thing is basically, if you're dropping $15,000 on a game, like, you shouldn't be
in the dark, or
yeah, have your wing in the wind trying to figure out what's happening.
and have people apologizing for that. Like, well, it's just how it is, guys. This is a small industry. Yeah.
You can't have your money back or we're going to go bankrupt and nobody gets anything. So give us twice as much.
I think the answer to that is it starts now. I think people are pretty fed up. And I noticed that Stern is being a little bit vocal and even using the hashtag announce then ship or announce and ship, where it's like, yeah, you gotta get these games out. So you just start taking people's money. I think there's a lot of, or a lot, I should say there was a lot of patience. There's a lack of it now. And if you want to be serious as a pinball company, I think you're going to have to act like an actual real business. So I think a lot of the blind faith is, it's dwindled. I'm sure a few people could still pull it off, but it's not going to be too normal to see that anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's sad so many projects have fallen through the cracks, but...
Yeah.
Well, and I brought up, like, I don't know, maybe the kit car industry has the same problem where somebody wanted to make a cool DeLorean and everybody got excited and it fell through the cracks. Or maybe the watch company, some new watch came up and then never happened. There's probably other hobbies that have similar things, but...
Yeah, it's always going to happen.
Grand scale.
Wherever you have enthusiasts, you're always going to have maybe the overly enthusiastic that they have good intentions and it just doesn't work out. And then obviously you're going to have the dirtbags who never had good intentions, but it's always going to be hard to know. I don't know. It sucks that so much of it falls on the buyer, but it's kind of the way the world works these days is...
Yeah, that's where we're at right now.
Anybody can find a voice online. It's just hard to know how trustworthy that voice is. So,
mm-hmm.
See. Okay.
Yeah, well, thank you guys. That's where are we at? About an hour and a half? Wow. And then Joe, don't forget to stick around for Joe's pinball retheme media extravaganza.
For edited and wait, not uncensored, but...
Mostly censored.
Mostly censored, yes.
No F-bombs, just a couple B's and a couple G, or a G.
That part is pretty funny, by the way.
It is, yeah. He did a great job.
I don't want to spoil it, but it's funny.
I'm a sucker for bleeps anyway. Like, watching South Park edited is way more fun than unedited.
I think edited rants, like when you see like a sports clip and a guy's just going off, and it's just... Every beep gets a little bit funnier than the one before it.
Sure, yeah. Or have you seen Jimmy Kimmel's Unnecessary Censorship?
Yes, those are hilarious.
Those are great, yeah. So. Anyway, Joe really went all out, so check it out. I also wanted to thank niftyled.com, so check them out, and tiltcycle.com for sponsoring the contest this month. And we will be at Rocky Mountain Pinball Showdown, pinballshowdown.com. If you're in the area, come check us out.
Free crap at the show.
Yeah, we will have some crap that we will not be leaving with.
Nope.
To fill the dumpster outside the hotel. And you can always check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Pinball Podcast on all of those things. The Pinball Podcast on Google+. And thepinballpodcast.com for whatever things that we post. For our show notes that John Chad reads. Right.
I think that covers it.
All right. Thanks, guys, so much. And you can email us, pinballpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you, Jeff. We will talk to you guys in a couple weeks.
Yep.
All right. Love you.
Bye.
Hey, kids. How you boys doing? You know who we are? We're associates of your business partner.
Gary Stern.
You're Brett, right?
Yeah.
I thought so. Looks like me and Vincent caught you boys
playing pinball.
Sorry about that.
What you playing? AC/DC. AC/DC! That's that Stern
joint. You mind if I try one of these? This is a tasty
pinball.
I can't usually get them because my girlfriend's a
Gottlieb fan.
Which pretty much makes me a
Gottlieb fan.
I just want you to know,
I just want you to know how sorry we are that things got so fucked up with us, and we got into this thing with the best intentions, really. I never...
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break your concentration? I didn't mean to. Please, continue. You were saying something about best intentions. What's the matter? Oh, you were finished. Oh, well, allow me to retort. What does
Gary Stern
look like? What? What country you from?
What?
What ain't no country I ever heard of? They speak English and what?
What?
English, motherfucker! Do you speak it?
Yes!
Then you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
Describe what
Gary Stern
looks like.
What?
Say what again? Say what again? I dare you. I double dare you, motherfucker. Say what one more goddamn time.
He's white.
Go on.
He's bald.
Does he look like a bitch?
What?
Does he look like a bitch?
No!
Then why you try to fuck like a bitch, Brett?
I didn't.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did, Brett. You tried to fuck.
But Gary Stern
don't like to be by anybody except
Mrs. Stern.
Thing is, Butch, right now you got ability. But painful as it may be, ability don't last. And your days are just about over. Now that's a hard motherfucking fact of life. But that's a fact of life y'all gonna have to get realistic about. See, this
pinball community is
filled to the brim with unrealistic motherfuckers.
Night of the Pinburg tournament.
You may feel a slight sting. That's pride fucking with you. Pride. Pride only hurts. It never helps. You fight through that. In the fifth, your ass goes down.
You still got your big bang on route?
Oh, man. You know what some f***er did the other day?
What?
F***ing keyed it.
Oh, man. That's f***ed up.
Tell me about it. I had it in storage for 3 years. It was out 5 days, and some f***ed with it.
They should be f***ing killed, man. No trial, no jury. Straight to execution.
Boy, I wish I could have caught him doing it. I'd have given anything to catch that asshole doing it. It'd have been worth him doing it, just so I could have caught him doing
what
it.
What a fucker.
What's more chick than fucking with a man?
Pinball.
I mean, don't fuck with another man's
pinball.
Don't do it. It's just against the rules.
You hear me talking, hillbilly boy? I ain't through with you by damn sight. I'ma get medieval on your ass.
And then what now between me and you?
I tell you what now between me and you. There is no me in you.
So we cool?
Yeah, we cool.
Come on, honey!
Where did you get this?
Pachinko machine.
Not a
pachinko machine.
Baby, it's a
pinball.
Come on, let's go.
Which pachinko machine is this?
It's a
pinball.
Baby.
Which pinball is
this? Zed.
Who's Zed?
Zed's dead, baby. Zed's dead.
God damn, Jimmy. This some serious gourmet shit. Me and Vincent would have been satisfied with some freeze-dried Taster's Choice, right? What flavor is this?
Knock it off, Julie.
What?
I don't need you to tell me how f***ing good my coffee is, okay? I'm the one who buys it. I know how good it is. Bonnie goes shopping, she buys shit. I buy the gourmet expensive stuff because when I drink it, I want to taste it. But you know what's on my mind right now? It ain't the coffee in my kitchen. It's the dead
pinball
in my garage.
Oh, Jimmy, don't even worry about it.
No, look at me, don't think about anything. I want to ask you a question. When you came pulling in here, did you notice a sign out in the front of my house that said
dead pinball storage?
Jimmy, you know I ain't seen no shit.
Did you notice a sign in the front of my house that said
dead pinball storage?
No, I didn't.
You know why you didn't see that sign?
Why?
Because it ain't there, because...
Storing dead pinballs.
They ain't my f***ing business, that's why.
Well, Jimmy, we're not going to store them.
Don't you f***ing realize, man, that if Bonnie comes home and finds a...
dead pinball?
...in her house, I'm going to get divorced. All right, no marriage counselor, no trial separation. I'm going to get f***ing divorced, okay? And I don't want to get f***ing divorced. I mean, you know, I mean, I want to help you, but I don't want to lose my life doing it, all right?
Jimmy, she ain't gonna leave.
Don't fuck Jimmy me, Jules, okay? Don't fuck Jimmy me. There's nothing that you're gonna say that's gonna make me forget that I love my wife, is there? Now look, you know, she comes home from work in about an hour and a half. Graveyard shift at the hospital. You gotta make some phone calls. You gotta call some people. Well, then do it. And then get the fuck out of my house before she gets here.
Hey, that's cool in the gang. You know, we don't want to fuck shit up. All I want to do is call my people, get them, bring us in. That's all.
You don't want to fuck shit up. You're fucking my shit up right now. You're gonna fuck my shit up big time if Bonnie comes home. So just do me that favor, all right? The phone is in my bedroom. I suggest you get going.